Hi everyone. Today we'll be reading from John chapter 19, from the end of verse 16 to verse 27. So he took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. So here we are. This is, in a sense, the climax of all of this gospel, the Gospel of John. And Jesus here, he is at the cross, being crucified and crucified for us. Now, in this passage, it's difficult to have a single coherent devotional thought because of its familiarity, but also there's a lot of different things happening in the scene. So I'm just going to list off different things, kind of going sort of verse by verse through this. But in verse 17, we're told this important detail that Jesus bears his own cross. He went out bearing his own cross. And we learn from the other gospels that Jesus carried his cross to the point of exhaustion, right, to the point that he couldn't carry it anymore, and had someone else had to help him. And this is, it's symbolic for us because of how Jesus was bearing our sins, right, to the point where he would die for it. And what's interesting is that, you know, Jesus bearing this cross, it's not really his cross to bear. It's ours. Right? It's the cross that we deserved. But he's carrying it. He's bearing it himself. He's doing this on his own, bearing the cross for us. Verse 18, it says he's crucified in between two other criminals. And here, well, we're not told they're criminals, but we're pretty sure they are. We can tell because they're being crucified. But he's being crucified between these two other criminals. And what this means then is that Jesus was being counted as another criminal as he took on our sin, right? And this is symbolic because it was of Jesus being able to identify in a real incarnational sense here with even the worst of us. You could see Jesus hanging out and eating with sinners and tax collectors, it says in other parts of the Gospels. And here he is in community, if you will, associated with criminals even. But there's also an ironic picture here as well, because there's someone to his left and to his right. And that kind of language is language with regards to a king, right? It's kind of an ironic, strange picture of a throne here. And that connects well then to verses 19 through 22 here, where there's this mini drama here about this inscription. So Pilate here, he has a sign, an inscription written up and put onto this cross. And this sign says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, this inscription was likely a common thing to put onto a cross, upon a crucifix, because it would usually detail the crime that was committed by the criminal. Because you see, crucifixion was typically not for wasn't just for your average criminal, like for a thief or an adulterer. It was for the ones who committed more heinous crimes or crimes of insurrection, like revolutionaries. And the point was this, is that you crucify this person. You put a sign there. So people walking by, people nearby, it says that they're near the city here. So there are people who could see this or witnessing this. they would see that sign, see the cross, see the person dying on the cross, and it's like this big blatant sign to them, don't even think about committing this kind of crime, or this could happen to you. But what Pilate does here is a little weird. And so in verse 21, the chief priests, they protest and say, you wrote the wrong thing, Pilate. You're like missing a subject and a verb here. Can you write that he says he's the king of the Jews instead? And Pilate's like, no, what I've written. It's kind of a cryptic response here. And I'd venture to guess that Pilate probably knew there was something more to Jesus than meets the eye. He probably knew there was something divine about this man, even though he had him crucified. And so he wrote what he wrote, refusing to change it. And what's also interesting is that this sign is written in Aramaic, in Latin, in Greek, it's in multiple languages. This cross, this sign, like what Jesus did, would be for more than just like Jewish people, right? It would go for the world, right? So it's in multiple languages, right? These are little symbolic things that are happening here. But this whole scene then, Jesus in the middle, a man on his left or on his right, the sign that says King of the Jews. It's this strange scene, a strange place for a throne room. But this is what Jesus came to do. Right? His kingdom was a lot different than what we would expect. In verses 23 and 24, we have these words about clothes of Jesus, right? Being divided up, casting lots. There's this tunic that was seamless, that they didn't tear, and they were casting lots for these things. So what's important about these things? Part of it is the fulfillment of scripture, as John says. And as he quotes from this Psalm, Psalm 22, they divided their garments among them, cast lot for his clothing. It's just showing us here that what happened to Jesus here, it's part of the plan, right? Part of the fulfillment of what the scripture says will happen. Now, as for the tunic itself, which is kind of an interesting thing to see, just that stands out here a little bit to me, at least, about it not being torn. I'm not entirely sure, but I read that because it was seamless, it meant that this tunic was expensive. And if you think about it, a few of us actually have clothing, or at least a few of us wear clothing that doesn't have a seam in it, right? If you just think about it, almost everything we wear has gone through a sewing machine of like some sort, right? The only thing I can think of is socks. Like socks typically don't have a seam in them, but maybe they still do. You just don't even notice, right? But whatever it is, it's a rare kind of thing, and obviously it would be much rarer at that time as well. So, but anyways, what some scholars point out is, which, you know, not necessarily for sure, right? But they would point out how the high priest likely wore tunics that were seamless as well. And so if that's the case, then maybe this part of the passage also points to Jesus being our great high priest. But I can't be 100% sure about that. But that's something I just wanted to note as well. Finally, the last part of this passage, verses 25 through 27. It says that, you know, Jesus' mother was there along with, you know, his aunt and Mary Magdalene, and also the disciple whom Jesus loved. That is John, the author of this book. And when Jesus sees his mother and this disciple, sees John, he says to his mom, woman, behold your son. And then to John, he says, behold your mother. Now think about this. Jesus here is dying on the cross. Right? If you imagine dying, I feel like for most of us in our dying moments, we're thinking about ourselves. But Jesus isn't thinking about himself here. He's honoring his mother here. This is in one sense, a very simple thing. He's honoring his mother. His mom was, Mary was likely a widow, so with very few means of taking care of herself. And here, he is ensuring that someone would be there to take care of her. So Jesus here is at the point of death, punishment, dying in pain and agony. He's obeying the Ten Commandments, honoring his mother, being a good son. And beyond that, while on the cross, Jesus is redefining family as well. Jesus, you know, for him, like family wasn't about or and isn't, I should say, isn't about bloodlines. But in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Jesus, family is the body of Christ. And Jesus' death on the cross would change even the most fundamental part, like fundamental unit of humanity, the family. And it changes then how we are to see one another, regard one another in the church. And even for ourselves, so in our own struggles and pain, and even if we're dealing with persecution, even, we're to care for, to love one another. This is what was happening here on the cross. Jesus, as he's bearing his cross, he's taking his place this on this like incredibly strange throne. But he's the king. He's doing something great. He's dying for our sins. He's changing the whole world. And as we remember what Jesus has done, let us come before him in thanksgiving, gratitude, and love. Let's pray that we can follow his example, that we can be people who love others as Jesus has loved us. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us. We do not deserve this. You bore the cross that we deserved. But as we remember this love that you've shown us on the cross, I pray that we can in turn love. We can follow you, Jesus, as our King, as our Lord, as you deserve, and that we will follow your example and love others. We'll honor our parents, we'll love our neighbors, we'll care for people, even to the point of persecution or pain or struggle, that we'll be willing to love others because we know we belong to your kingdom, God. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Help us to live in that love. In your name we pray. Amen.